saccia tu. Se te non ne o lo te va, che te viene sempre a calare dal manene. Se ci picchia quando si è a calare, picchia mia. Oh mamma, la 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 la.
Oh mamma, zuma zuma bacala. And there's more bacala out there. And when it heats up, boy, it doesn't smell great. But hey, but when it's fresh, it's fine. So here we are, trends this week, and another week of geopolitical, political, and economic events, decisions, and implications that are leading us down the road of not very good trend consequences. So that's what we do here at the Trends Research Institute. Current events form future trends. We're all doing in life what we're doing because of decisions that we've made. Good and the bad and the ugly. And then there are the wild cards that nobody can predict, be they man-made, as the earthquake in Italy yesterday, or the floods that devastated so much of Louisiana, made by Mother Nature, or man-made. Of course, those are made by Mother Nature, the wild cards that you can't predict. And the man-made, again, you can't predict them. You could see when they happen, but man makes them. So the people suffering, the refugees from the man-made crises in Syria, in Libya, in Iraq, Afghanistan. So going back to trend forecasting, you can't see the wild cards. The wild cards in the economy. For example, I would have thought the economy would have, you know, disintegrated 4 years ago, 2012. But man-made wild cards called negative interest rate, zero interest rate policy, quantitative easing, never happened before like this. There's never been such a thing as negative interest rates. In the UK, they just lowered interest rates to 322-year lows. So those are the wild cards. But you can see the direction things are going in by watching the current events forming future trends. And as we look at the economy, for example, starting with that, you can see where it's going. It's going nowhere fast. At some point, they're going to raise interest rates. Probably in December is the best bet. And because they're going to raise interest rates in December, that, for example, is now pushing down gold prices, because the stronger the dollar gets, the weaker gold. But will they raise interest rates? 50% of the gamblers out there say yes, they will. But you have to put all the pieces together. If they raise interest rates, all you have to do is look at the economic news making the news. And you pick up a story from the Financial Times talking about all that money flowing into those hot markets, those emerging markets, because they're looking for yields, because you have negative interest rates. So the story is, emerging markets back in vogue as yield-hungry investors feel the squeeze. So then you read the headline like that. Investors, how about gamblers? So money is being poured into emerging markets at record pace as negative interest rates across the developed world lure investors toward riskier assets in what one trader has dubbed a buying craze. So, you look at the start of this year, as we did on Progressive Radio and Trends This Week, we saw emerging markets assets have reached a status where nobody wanted to go near them. They were crashing. But now they're back in vogue. How come? And they're back big. Again, you can't make any money with negative interest rates. So they're going where the action is hot. They're gambling. It goes back to the dollar. If they raise interest rates, the dollar becomes stronger. All these emerging markets, which borrowed tens of trillions of dollars, both from corporations and countries, they have to pay that back. And now they have to pay it back with cheaper dollars, a cheaper currency, because the higher the dollar goes, the cheaper their currencies go. And the emerging markets are very rich in natural resource products. But natural resource commodity prices are very low. And they're selling less of what they used to, and they're selling at a lower price. So that's what we do. We take a globalnomic perspective. It's not about what's going on in the United States or Europe. It's about what's going on in China or Japan. It's what's going on around the world, in countries that don't make the news. But you can see where the money's flowing. And you know that old saying, follow the money. So that's what we're seeing here. So they're talking about raising interest rates. So when they raise interest rates, remember, the demand for emerging markets has nothing to do with what the emerging markets are putting out, because they're not putting out much right now. It has to do with what they call TINA. There is no alternative to make money. TINA. There is no alternative. So then you're going to see these emerging markets that were way down before go way down again. So raising interest rates may be negative for gold right now, and it may well be for a while. Again, you know our forecast for gold. Gold has to go over $1,400 an ounce and stay over that and reach some high points within that $1,400 range, and then it's going to spike. But as we speak today, gold is down over $15 on expectations that this Friday, Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen will be speaking again at Jackson Hole meeting that they have yearly to give a hint of what they're going to do next. So what they're going to do is they're going to talk up the dollar and talk down gold, even if they don't do anything. But when they do raise interest rates, and they're going to have to raise them at one point, you're going to see the markets collapse, is our forecast. And we base that on fact, because here's the fact. When the Federal Reserve raised interest rates for the first time in over 9 years, back in December, we woke up to the new year markets. Happy New Year. The Dow had its worst 2 weeks in the history of the Dow. Markets around the world lost over $6 trillion by the end of the month. There was panic on the streets. Because when the Fed raised interest rates in December, again, only 25 basis points, nothing. After having it at zero interest rate policy since about 2008, they also said they were going to raise interest rates four times in 2016. Well, here we are going into the third quarter. and they haven't raised them at all. So what they do is they talk up raising interest rates. That's negative for gold, because the stronger the dollar gets, the weaker gold goes at this point. Now let's go global. I mentioned that the Bank of England just lowered interest rates to 322-year lows. They're talking about negative interest rates going lower in Japan and in Europe with the central banks. They're lowering rates in New Zealand and Australia to juice the markets. So, if the United States raises interest rates, what's going to happen in a global society of low interest rates? The dollar soars and these markets collapse. So they have to be very careful in what they do. And they'll do it in December because that's also a quiet trading time, particularly if they do it around, you know, the holiday season. They announce it, you know, middle of December. Because trading on the markets is very thin, just like it is right now. People are in a vacation state of mind. Trading's thin, volatility is flat. We haven't seen this level of quiet market trading in over two decades. That's how quiet the markets are right now. There's no volatility. But it's also important to understand that when you have market conditions like this, and volatility is so low, that's the time when you can expect periods, as we've seen in the past, when you have this kind of environment, all of a sudden, there are sharp corrections. So even though people are in a vacation state of mind, this is a time to really focus in on what's going on in the markets, what signals are being sent out, where things are going. Because there's going to be, I believe, a lot of market volatility between now and the end of the year. Take what's going on, for example, in the oil markets. You keep hearing this stuff coming out. You know, they're having a meeting in OPEC next month, middle of September. So what they keep coming out with is that the Saudis are agreeing to talk on the sidelines about possibly holding back on production. By the way, Saudi oil production right now is at an all-time high. Russia. Iran now is only 200,000 barrels below their export level before the United States put sanctions on them and the European flunkies followed back in 2011. So when they come out with an announcement that Saudis are willing to talk, all of a sudden the oil markets will spike up 2-3% just on talk. So what they're doing is they're talking the markets up because they need to get the highest prices they can for what they're selling. So for example, yesterday they jump up and now today they're down 2%. They're down because there's more oil supply than demand. And it's not going to stop. Remember they were talking about peak oil years ago? We never bought into that. And again, we don't always get it right. But following trends and learning about all the different drilling methods. And then again, look at fracking. You know, when they were talking about peak oil, you know, fracking was just beginning. And now they've fracked up. And they have to be polite on the air because we could use another word other than fracked. They fracked up the entire country, or big parts of it, and other places around the world. And of course, the deep water drilling and other methods that are bringing out oil. So you have an oversupply at a time when demand is shrinking. And there's also more alternatives on the market. And that's very important to understand. That, you know, there's going to be, whether it's wind, geothermal, whatever it might be, new energy sources, biofuels, they're going to erode more of the old line energies. And it's even, you know, cars becoming more electric one after another. So oil prices in the long term are on a downtrend. Now, I'm mentioning this because of the not only the economic implications, but the socioeconomic implications among all these nations that rely on oil as their major export. You see what's going on in Venezuela. People are flooding into Colombia to buy food. They have a real crisis going on over there. You look at what's going on in Saudi Arabia. They need oil at $100 a barrel just to break even with their budget. Yeah, it's cheap to pump it out of the ground, but they got to make a lot of dough on it to keep things level. And now what's oil selling for? You know, around, you know, a little bit below $50 a barrel. So they're only halfway there. Now, this is important because we're in the midst or the end of the driving season, the heavy travel season throughout the Western world. And oil prices have not spiked. This is the time when they do. Of course, if we go into a frigid winter, that might change things as well. However, that's only a bet. The fact is, right now, we're at the height of the driving season, just being over, and oil prices have not spiked. That's going to cause a lot of destabilization throughout the Middle East and among other nations in Africa and South America that are heavily oil dependent on exports. Social unrest. When people lose everything and have nothing left to lose, they lose it. So that's where we're looking at in the economy. And to understand that the stock markets and equity markets have nothing to do with reality, nothing to do with true price discovery, as I keep mentioning over and over again, the only reason the markets keep going up is because of this record low interest rates that are pumping them up because companies are buying back their stocks by borrowing money for nothing to drive up the asset prices and merger and acquisition activity. You just saw yesterday, for example, a major deal was just approved again where ChemChina is buying Syngenta for $44 billion. And then when you go back to the oil to put it together again and you look at the problems going on in the oil industry, the jobs that have been lost, the bankruptcies that have happened, as soon as the price of oil goes up, they start fracking and drilling again. They have to make money at any cost. So the more the price goes up, the more they drill, that drives the price down because supply, again, outweighs demand. And now you're seeing in the U.S. shale industry, they're ready to drill again. I've been talking about this fraud of bankism for quite some time. Going back to 2010 in our Trends Journal and in our Trend Alerts, we said there is no recovery, it's a cover-up. And all they're doing is they're enriching the rich because they're the ones who speculate in the markets. And you can look at the data. The data doesn't lie. The markets lie, and the prostitutes that support them lie with them. You all know the numbers. 95% of the wealth in the United States created since Obama in 2009 has gone to the 1%. The too big to fails have become even larger. The equity market spike only enriches the investors, quote, gamblers. It has not gone through society. Again, 51% of the people in the United States with full-time jobs are earning $30,000 or less. The middle class is now a minority, and median household incomes below 1999 levels. Those are facts. So here is the headline. And this is what I was saying before. It's very important to stay in tune during periods where people are tuned out of the news, because they put a lot of news in there that they feel obliged to put out, but they know that it's not going to make a big impact. So here's one of the stories. This is a front page story of the Wall Street Journal that agrees with everything that myself and the contributors to the Trends Journal have been writing about and speaking about for 6 years. Stimulus efforts get weirder. This is the Wall Street Journal. Stimulus efforts get weirder. You don't get any more weird than weirder, or maybe weirdest. Weird is pretty good. So take that headline and put that into Economics 101. When I went to college, they never taught you about this stuff. My undergraduate was in business administration, and my graduate was in public administration. So I got a lot of these economic courses shoved down my throat that just are a lot of BS and book talk. And if you don't think they're BS and book talk, look at the guy that was the head of the Federal Reserve, B.S. Bernanke. You remember him. The guy that, when the markets are collapsing, back in 2007, and on other times on CNBC, saying, there's never been a time when the entire real estate market in the United States collapsed, when they were worried about all the dirty deals that were going on. And this guy's an economic professor at Princeton. You know my six words that have destroyed America: Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks. What is this guy? And he claims to be a professor, and his expertise is in the Great Depression. Oh, no, real estate prices didn't collapse around the country during then. Going back to school, and what they don't teach you is they never taught us about stimulus, zero interest rate policies, and negative interest rate policies. They had stimulus to some point with Keynesian economics, but never at the level of quantitative easing, buying back corporate bonds and government bonds. Never. But going back to the story, in the Wall Street Journal, that confirms what we're saying, that the markets are totally rigged. Here we go. As central banks run out of bonds to buy, they flood corporations with cheap money. Oh, isn't that nice? If you're a big corporation, we'll flood you with cheap money. We're going to give you everything that you want. And you know why? Because the corporations run the countries. Look at the lobbyists. Oh, and I love the term they use, pay to play. Pay to play? How about payoffs? to give to some sleazy, low-life politician, and I want to change that name, politicians. I think sleazeballs are much more appropriate, and I'm open to hearing any other explanation. Pay to play. Payoffs, bribes. So here now, central banks run out of bonds to buy. They flood corporations with cheap money. Are they flooding your business with cheap money? If you're an entrepreneur or an on-trendpreneur, the European Central Bank's corporate bond buying program has stirred so much action in credit markets that some investment banks and companies are creating new debt, especially for the central banks to buy. Isn't that great? Stealing our dough to enrich the filthiest of the filthy, disgusting, multinational rich that have taken jobs away from we the little people so they could get all the action. But don't get upset. Don't raise your voice. Be calm. You know, when people tell me that, well, what am I reading about central banks now? Stealing our dough to give to their friends? Oh, you say I raise my voice and I'm angry? Oh, you bet I'm angry. But I say, hey, if Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, could become violent and pick up a whip to drive the money changers out of the temple, could I become angry at the same money changers, but they just have different names? Let's call them J.P. Morgan Chase. How about the Goldman Sachs gang? Hey, the Merrill Lynch mob. Harvard, Princeton, Yale. Bullets, bombs, and banks. How many more of these people do we need to run our lives and ruin them? Look who runs for president. Look where they come from. The same club. Going on with the story. In two instances, the European Central Bank has bought bonds directly from European companies through so-called, you ready for this? Private placements. Yeah, private placements. You the little people, us the little people, we don't have to know anything about this. We're dirty dealers, we're banksters, we're going to do private placements to keep it out of the public eye, and we're just doing business as usual. In which debt is sold to a tight circle of buyers. In other words, a close circle of friends, insiders that never lose, because they're on the inside of the deal. Without the formality of a wider auction. Without the formality. Without the front. Gold prices should be shooting through the roof. They should stop teaching economics in college. It's a bunch of BS. There's nothing there about true price discovery anymore. Let's stop calling this capitalism. It's bankism as clear as day. I'm reading to you from the Wall Street Journal, not from the World Socialist Organization. And they're calling the spade the spade. Continuing, it is a startling example of how banks and companies are quickly adapting to the extremes of monetary policy in what is an already unconventional age. Isn't that nice white shoe boy language? Companies and banks are quickly adapting. Now, doing dirty deals to keep the Ponzi scheme going. to the extremes of monetary policy, what has been already termed an unconventional age. Unconventional age? Never been done in the history of the world. Ever. Ever, 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 ever. Negative interest rates. Quantitative easing. Corporate and government buybacks. In the past decade, wide-scale purchases of government bonds, a bid to lower the cost of borrowing in the economy, have persuaded investors to take more risks. They're not investors, they're gamblers, higher risks, and they go on to say it's become commonplace now. Central banks more recently have moved to negative interest rates, flipping on their head the ancient custom of monetary lending. Now they are all but inviting private actors to concoct specific things for them to buy so they can continue pumping money into the financial system. That is from the Wall Street Journal. So they can continue pumping money into the financial system. None of this helps we, the people on Main Street. It only helps the white shoe boys on Wall Street. The facts are right there. Again, I'm reading to you from the Wall Street Journal. They're calling this out for exactly what it is, but of course they use language in it that takes the heat out of it. It has also spurred criticism that the extreme policies are killing the returns available to other investors. That's we, the little people, such as pension funds, and loading up the economic and financial system with potentially overpriced debt. Once upon a time, by the way, pension funds used to be able to put money in the bank, we little people, and have a thing called savings account. But with negative and zero interest rate policies, we get nothing back. And now in Germany, banks, private banks, are also have negative interest rates for small people. When they put their money in the bank, you got to pay them to keep it there. Why would you do that? I got to keep it safe. Oh, yeah, great. The other point that I read of this, making global nomic connections, I talked to you before about the emerging markets and how it's back in vogue as yield-hungry investors are looking to put their money someplace because they feel the squeeze of negative and zero interest rate policies. Now, remember what I just read now from the Wall Street Journal. They're loading up the economic and financial system with potentially overpriced debt. Not potentially overpriced, overpriced. The other thing that's very important to understand is that as the debt loads continue in nations, they need to keep interest rates low because they got to pay back the debt. And the higher the interest rates go, the more they have to pay back. It's like if you got a loan on a house or a car. You get a loan that's low, great. If you have an adjustable rate loan and interest rates go up and now you're paying back two or three times the amount, you think you're going to be able to do it? That's why they have to keep rates low. That's why I'm bullish on gold. And to me, the entire markets are manipulated. And that is not empty talk. That's fact. It's hard fact. And the hard reality is that nobody pays for the crimes committed by the banksters who rigged the markets. all those fines that were paid. Nobody goes to jail. They're too big to jail. Yeah, that was Obama's attorney general, Eric Holder. Yeah, I got something from to hold. Yeah, now he went back to work for those white shoeboy firms on Wall Street that protect the banksters. This is not speculation that the markets are rigged. Yeah, remember what I said about reading during the summer and staying in tune. This is a front page story in the Financial Times that made no news in the States. Deutsche Bank whistleblower snubs snubs 8.25 million Securities and Exchange Commission payout. Protested failure to punish executives. A whistleblower who helped expose fake accounting at Deutsche Bank has turned down a multi-million dollar award from the Securities and Exchange Commission in protest against the agency's failure to punish executives at the bank. Bravo for him. Eric Ben Arzi, a former Deutsche Bank risk officer, told the SEC he's declining his share of the $16.5 million payout, the third largest in whistleblower program's history. Mr. Benazzi said the fine should be paid by top managers, not shareholders, and suggested the revolving door of senior personnel between the SEC and Germany's largest bank had played a role in executives going unpunished. This goes beyond the typical revolving door story, he wrote in the Financial Times. In this case, top SEC lawyers had held senior posts at the bank, moving in and out of top positions at the SEC, even as the investigation into the malfeasance at Deutsche Bank were ongoing. Hey, I wonder what the Kardashians are doing this week. Haven't heard about Justin Bieber lately. That's the news they shoved down our throat in America while keeping this out of the news. And that's all the government is. It's not a government of we the people. It's the revolving door. Only the blind or the cowards that don't want to admit the truth won't face it. A revolving door. We just saw the Attorney General, who under Obama, when he lied his way into office, to me the greatest traitor in my lifetime as a president, and that he lied to us so extensively. A mass murderer, of course, not on the level of the Clintons or the Bushes, but he has plenty of drone blood on his hands. Beautiful job in Libya and Syria. Love that troop surge in Afghanistan. Back in Iraq. So I say a traitor because I just went through the other murderers. But they didn't lie their way into office like this guy did. The traitor who said that the people that caused the financial crisis would pay, and then he puts in Holder, who goes back to work in the revolving door circuit from Attorney General back to the white shoe boy firm he came from. And he also worked under Clinton. Oh, yeah, you remember Obama was going to sweep Washington clean and brings in the Clinton-Bush team when he becomes president. Gates, Holder, Clinton herself. Yeah, a fraud. So going back to it, look at the facts. Who was the guy that deregulated the financial sector? Bill Clinton. Who was the U.S. Treasury Secretary? Robert Rubin. He began it. Yep. Where did Robert Rubin come from? Oh, he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs. Revolving door? It's not a revolving door, it's one door. It's the corporate door. Who was the guy that gave us too big to fail under Bush? Henry Paulson. Where did he come from? I think he was the CEO of Goldman Sachs too, wasn't he? Yes. Go up and down the list and take a trip around the world. It's bankism. People better grow up and start doing what they can to change the system. And I'm not voting, by the way, for president. And I'm only speaking for myself. That's the Trends Journal motto. Think for yourself. Because to me, whether you vote for a third-party candidate, well, they're not going to win. And all it does is perpetuate the system. I would like to see no one turn out. Maybe a 20% turnout so we could show what a fraud the entire system is. It's the same thing around the world. As I was talking about the Goldman Sachs gang. Who's the guy that runs the Bank of England? Mark Carney. Where did he come from? Goldman Sachs. Who's the guy that's running Australia over there, Prime Minister Turnbull? Yeah, bull? There's another word to put after bull. Goldman Sachs. Who's the head of the European Central Bank? Mario Goldman Sachs Draghi. It's not capitalism, it's not bank, it's bankism. It's not a democracy. They're using this fraud of go out and vote to make it seem, oh, if you don't go out and vote, then you don't, you know, you don't deserve to complain. I don't vote for murderers and thieves. If anyone could add that up. I don't vote Republican or Democrat. I vote, by the way, I do vote for local people here in Kingston, and that are going to affect me locally. But if I don't like any of them, I won't vote for them. And again, I don't do the third party thing unless there's a real chance of that third party candidate winning. Again, I'm only speaking for myself. I'm not telling people what to do. Think for yourself. I care less what anybody does. I don't tell people what to do. I don't want people telling me what to do. So we call it even. I don't vote. I will not vote for the Libertarian or the Green Party person because their odds of winning are next to zero or at zero. And all that does is perpetuate the corrupt system. So I want to see a no vote. A no, I'm not going to the polls, and don't give me the line that I heard since the fifth grade, that if you don't go out to vote, then you don't deserve to complain and you get with me, blah, 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 blah. No, I don't vote for a lesser of two evils, a greater of two evils, or any evils. And again, by voting for the third party, it gives you legitimacy, gives the whole system legitimacy, as I see it, when there's none there. So going on to some other news on the economic front, as I said, we're going to see a takedown of gold for a while. If it breaks below the 1,200 mark, that'll show weakness. It's already showing weakness. The markets, again, there's no other place to put the money. It's TINA. There is no alternative. So people will continue to gamble. Watch those oil prices. They're a key indicator of what's going on around the world. And looking at what's going on around the world, there's no outrage going on. To me, and there should be plenty of it, what just happened in Syria. You just heard the Pentagon come out and warn, that's right, warn the Syrian government not to interfere with American troops on the ground. Now, I'm sure all of you remember when Congress voted to go to war against Syria. I think it was Syria that bombed Pearl Harbor. No, I think they took down the World Trade Center. No, they are the ones that hit the Pentagon. We all know what Syria has done to America, and so, of course, we have to retaliate. So that's why Congress voted for us to go to war against Syria. Of course, I'm being facetious. Assad has to go, says Hitlery and Obama and Kerry and all the rest. And the liberals let them get away with this, by the way. If Bush was doing this, those Woodstockers, boy, oh yeah, they'd be protesting. But when their guy does it, hey, it's okay. He's not as bad as Bush. The Pentagon issued a blunt warning to Syrian government after its warplane struck a Kurdish-controlled region where American military personnel were on the ground. Quote, the Syrian regime, listen to that language, it's a big part of trend forecasting. Always watch the language. It's not a regime, but I guess it is if you're comparing it to America's regime, where we got the two Bloods and the Crips running the show. Assad was elected by the people. They had open elections and they had international observers there. But those are only facts. Why talk about those? The Syrian regime would be well advised not to interfere with coalition forces or our partners, said Captain Jeff Davis, a Pentagon spokesman. Can you imagine? Scrambling the jets was the most robust American response yet to Syrian government airstrikes. Could you imagine this? Although scrambling the jets was the most robust American response yet to the Syrian government airstrikes, although Syrian and Russian attacks have repeatedly hit predominantly Arab rebel groups backed by the United States. Rebel groups, rebels with a cause, huh? Who are these rebels? You've seen pictures of them there every day. It is moderate rebels. Yeah, like those moderate rebels that the United States supported called al-Qaeda and al-Nusra in Libya to overthrow Gaddafi. Captain Davis said American officials urged the Russians to contact the Syrian government with a blunt message. United States aircraft would defend on the ground, would defend troops on the ground if threatened. Could you imagine? Here we are, not we, here they are, the psychopaths invading another country and warning them that if the invaders and the people that they are taking our money from to give to the murderous rebels who want to overthrow the government, and Syria is one of the most stable places in the Middle East for decades, one of the most prosperous places for decades. Until Hitlery and Obama decided to overthrow it, along with their coalition of the killing, the beheaders in chief, the Saudis. Imagine the gall of telling the government of a country that we're occupying your country, and if you do anything to stop us, you're going to pay the price. Where is the outrage in America? Hey, did you watch those Olympics, huh? Wow, you know. Oh, by the way, the Olympics. Viewership down 17%. Among millennials, down over 25%. They're not participating like they used to. It's become e-games in an e-world. And as much as people talk about being in touch, they're out of touch. They're wired and out of touch to let this happen like this. So now they threaten Russia and Syria for bombing people that are trying to overthrow the country. And by the way, Russia was invited in by Assad, and Assad's running the government. America's illegally there, but America goes illegally wherever it wants and then attacks countries for breaking UN resolutions, except the ones that we're partners with. So what they're calling this now, Hitlery wants to install a no-fly zone over Libya. Over Syria, like they did over Libya, which Bernie Sanders was a co-sponsor of, by the way. So they came up with new Orwellian language. A no-fly zone means that they'll tell the Syrian government where they can fly over their own country. We'll tell you. Don't you know who we are? We are the failing United States, where the people have lost their standard of living, where they tax us and give our money to the multinationals and the military defense and cyber defense complex. We're going to tell you what to do, where you can fly over. So they changed the name. Orwell Lives. It's now an exclusion zone. I'm not making this up. Failure after failure. The Taliban of seizing more territory all over Afghanistan. We're sending more troops there, and you go back to Obama's State of the Nation and other addresses that the United States would be out of Afghanistan and out of Iraq. They're bringing more and more troops in. And now Marine helicopters are back in war in Iraq, but you know, in Libya. But of course, you know who they're going after, don't you? ISIS. We've got to get rid of those ISISs. And things are heating up again over in Israel. Just had 50 raids on Gaza. The apartheid state. But you can't say anything bad. No. They could break UN resolutions. They're only defending themselves against those rockets. Morality is a word that's gone from the lexicon of America, gone from the dictionary. But it's up to you to change it. Remember, it does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting brush fires of freedom in the minds of men. It can change. We need a moral compass to follow. And right now, that does not exist. The future's in your hands. Or are you going to leave it to somebody else? That's just some of the trends in the news this week, and the trends this week. There are a lot of others going on. We can't get to all of them. If you want to see more, go to our website, trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. If you want to subscribe to the Trends Journal, new ones going out right now, summer edition, Trends Monthly going out as well, Trend Alerts, and Trends in the News broadcasts each weekday night, only $99 a year. And if that's too much for you, we know people having a difficult time, there's a discount request page. We try to make it available to everyone. We need a movement of morality to change the course. Because if we don't, we can see where we're going with this election. Clinton or Trump, we're getting clumped. Whoever wins, we lose. Doesn't have to be this way. It's changing in other countries. It could change here. Thank you again. Appreciate being on. And if you have any questions, you could also email me. Go to our website, trendsresearch.com. And any suggestions you have, I would love to hear them. Thank you. Sempre baccalare dal mano bene. Se ci picchia quando si è baccalare, picchia me.